In the book of Isaiah, chapter 64 and verse 6, it says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Sin. Sin is such a dreadful matter, such a cruel taskmaster. In its deceptive qualities, the very nature of sin itself will seek to convince us that it really isn't so bad. But Isaiah here, and many other places in the scriptures, the description of sin and sin's nature, the quality of sin, is both unpleasant and uncontrollable in and of our own will. For we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousnesses as filthy rags. The very best that we do, and how many times have I heard people say, "I hope I'm good enough to get to heaven. I hope that I'll make it to heaven. I hope my good will outweigh my bad. I hope," or they will say, "I am not such a bad person. I don't bother anybody. I keep to myself. I'm not so bad." And expressions of this sort, of one or the other, "I'm not so bad," or "I hope I'm good enough," are common and easy to come by, and evidence of the deceptive nature of our own sin nature. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Sin, by its very definition, defies against the living God. Oh, subtle to our minds, careful in its efforts to keep us from thinking ourselves to be so bad as we really are before the holiness of God. But then, if our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, what then hope could any one of us have? And we turn to the book of Luke, chapter 5, to begin with, that we might have hope as sinners. Luke chapter 5, I'll begin reading in verse 18 and read down through verse 25. "And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. There were four men who sought to bring a companion, a friend, perhaps a relative, into the presence of Jesus Christ. He was in a house, and a great crowd had gathered around this house, spilling out even beyond the doors and the windows, and they could not bring their palsied friend on his cot, and they could not bring him into the presence of the Lord Jesus. They looked about the house, what do we do? And they found a way up onto the roof of this house, and they tore up the roof of the house, and they let him down into the midst of that house. And when they could not find by way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went to the housetop and let him down through the tiling, which with his couch in the midst before Jesus. Now they brought their friend that he might be healed of this affliction, this palsy. He couldn't get up and walk himself. He couldn't take himself there, but he was taken there of his friend who wanted to bring him into the presence of the Son of God. And when Jesus saw this man who was lowered down on his couch into the presence of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus said unto him, "Man, thy sins are forgiven." There are no greater words that a sinner could ever hear. For all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Forgiven. They'll not be held against you. You'll not carry the penalty of your sins. Your sins are forgiven. Well, the scribes and the Pharisees who are there on this particular occasion began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, "What reason ye in your hearts? Why are you thinking these things? Whether is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? Which one is easier?" You folks here, you Pharisees that would wonder, this man that's speaking blasphemies you accuse, which is easier, he responds, to say, "Rise, take up your bed, walk," or to say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee"? Well, you all know the answer quite well as they did, that any one of us can say these words, and yet there's only one who has the power behind such words. And the Lord Jesus says, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go unto thine house.' And immediately he rose up before them, took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God." The man's sins were forgiven. He need not worry whether his righteousnesses were sufficient to get him entrance to the living God. He didn't need to hope that maybe he'd be good enough, for by the decree of the living God, his sins were forgiven. All of his offenses before God, all of the things that he had done wrong, all of his iniquities that had driven him like a leaf before the wind, it was all forgiven by the power of the word of Jesus Christ. He went home rejoicing, for he was healed of his palsy. The physical ailment that was brought before the Lord Christ was healed. And oh, how much more to rejoice for, for his sins were forgiven. There are no greater words to be found anywhere in all the world than these: "Thy sins are forgiven." These words spoken by the person of Jesus Christ: "Thy sins are forgiven." What hope hath you? For all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. They're not good enough. The only hope that any sinner has, words of Jesus Christ: "Thy sins are forgiven." And here's an example of one man who went on his way rejoicing. Oh, rejoicing, certainly, for he was healed of his palsy. And where there was no room to let him into that house, when he came in on his couch, there was room for him to go out. And he went on his way rejoicing. We read just a couple of verses down in Luke chapter 5. And verse 27 of another sinner. "And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, 'Follow me.' And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that went down with him. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" And Jesus answering said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners, sinners to repentance." There are many, many sinners who love this passage. For they want to say that the Lord Jesus was a friend of sinners. And there's never been a greater friend to sinners than the person of Jesus Christ. But as I said, that there are many who will say, "I hope I'm good enough to get to heaven. I hope that I'm do enough things, good things, to outweigh my bad. I hope that I've done enough good that God will be pleased with me, or that I've not done so much bad that it'll go bad for me in my last days." There are those sinners who want to stay in their sin and say, "Jesus loves me just the way I am. And I can continue on in all manner of ungodliness and wickedness with no concern, for Jesus is the friend of sinners." But the Lord Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. And those who are here on this occasion that ate this dinner at Levi's house, Levi was called from his position as a tax collector to follow the Lord Jesus. And he said, "I'm through collecting taxes, and now I'm a follower of Jesus Christ." He gathered together others who were sinners of similar ilk to himself, those who were known for their sin, and said, "Jesus Christ is here. We're all sitting down to dinner with him." The reality is that sinners either submit to Jesus Christ and they turn from their sin, or they hate him, for he exposes their sin. And here the Lord Jesus says, "I am not come to call the righteous." Those who don't think they have sin, those who think their righteousnesses aren't filthy rags, but they're not so bad. This occasion, those people were scribes and Pharisees, religious men, men knowledgeable in the things of God, and yet puffed up in their own righteousnesses. The Lord Jesus came to call sinners. Sinners to repentance. Sinners to turn from their sinful ways and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. My thoughts are sinful thoughts. My thoughts are rebellious thoughts. My thoughts are against thee. My actions are against thee. My person is against thee. And I would turn to thee and seek pardon from the God of heaven and earth." When the sinner comes to Jesus Christ in response to the call, repentance, the liar is no longer known for his lying, but becomes an honest man. No longer does he need his lie in order to conduct his dishonest activities or his sneaking activities, but the liar gives up the lying when he's been in contact with Jesus Christ. The thief is no longer a thief, but the thief becomes a laborer in honest endeavor. The rebel is no longer bent on rebellion and throwing off authority, but the rebel becomes one submissive to the truth and the righteousness of God. The covetous are no longer covetous, but they begin to think on the well-being and the needs of others. The power of Christ to forgive sin. The power of Jesus Christ to enable sinners to do that which is right and good in his sight. Not by their own strength, but by the grace of God, sinners that have repented of their sin and turned from their own works of flesh to cry unto God for mercy and to know what it is to do right by the power of God and according to the truth of His Word. We turn to the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman of the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is which toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have something to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved. Go in peace. This woman, next to the person of Jesus Christ, could do nothing but see herself as the sinner that she was. Understand what it says of her in the book of Isaiah. All of our righteousnesses are as an unclean thing. Our iniquities, like the wind, blowing a leaf, drive it. For us, drive us before that wind. Oh, she knew she was a sinner, and she knew that Jesus Christ, the righteous Son of God, she wept at his feet, washed his feet with her hair, she anointed his feet with the ointment, and she worshiped him there at the house of Simon. What a picture! Crowd gathered together, however many invited to this house, a number of people here on this occasion, and a woman just makes her way in and this display of emotion, adoration before the Son of God. Simon the Pharisee, pretty good fella, pretty nice guy, pretty good position, didn't see himself for what he was. He did not see Jesus Christ for who he is. He did not fit the description. I'm not such a bad person. I don't bother so many people. I keep to myself. Does it not follow the same line of thought? Not much to forget. But oh, he's a sinner. And what hope is there for any sinner? But these words, thy sins are forgiven. There is no other hope for any sinner. There is no place else for any sinner to turn. There is no one with the power and the authority that the Son of God has. There is no other authority but the Word of God for the forgiveness of sin. And this woman who saw Jesus Christ for who he is and saw herself for what she was, near the forgiveness of her sin. There is no one else. There is no other place but these three places. Those who don't have much to forgive, those who have much to forgive, and the person of Jesus Christ. But every sinner, whether they recognize it or not, understand it or not, acknowledge it or not, every sinner is in the same place as the woman in this story. Though there are many, like the Pharisee, who say, not that big a deal to have him in my house. It's not that big a deal to be in his presence. There's not that much wrong with me. But the woman understood. Levi understood. The palsied man understood. And every sinner says, Lord, Lord Jesus, I don't deserve your mercy. And I certainly don't deserve to have my sins forgiven. But I would just hope in your word that you would forgive a sinner like me. The only hope that any sinner has. Is it a hope that you have come to in your life? The place that you've come, casting off all your own unrighteousnesses, all your own righteousnesses, casting them all off, and say, I have no hope that Jesus Christ would forgive me. If not, I hope that even now, at this very hour, it would be the time when you would say, I need this forgiveness, my sin. For my sin has deceived me these many years and made me to think that it isn't all that bad. But oh, alongside the person of Jesus Christ, it really is. It really is all that bad. And rather than being one stuck on my own righteousness, I would be resting fully upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you've not come to that place in your life up to now, would you call upon the Lord Jesus even in this hour? At this very moment, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner.